Welcome to Spirits on Spirits, a podcast where we mix ghost stories with a little liquid courage. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Nate.
And together we'll dive into the eerie, the unexplained, and the downright terrifying, all while enjoying a drink or two. Each episode we'll explore haunted places, ghostly encounters, and paranormal mysteries, pairing them with the perfect cocktail to keep our nerves steady. So grab a glass, turn down the lights, and join us as we sip, shiver, and swap some spine-chilling stories. Because here at Spirits on Spirits, the only thing stronger than the ghosts are our drinks.
What up, sons of witches? We are back with another episode of Spirits on Spirits. We are coming to you recording from our... We're coming to you live. I've been pretty good about not saying that. But we're coming to you from our studio down here in spooky Salem, Massachusetts. It's a nice fall night, and you know, spooky vibes are high, dude. Aiden, how are we feeling tonight?
Feeling good. We're at one of our every 10 episodes, so we're going international.
International.
So I'm pretty stoked for that.
But dude, episode 30.
Episode 30.
That's crazy.
The big 3-0.
We have stayed committed to this way longer than I expected.
Seriously.
This is awesome.
Dude, we're over half a year now.
Yeah, over half a year, 30 episodes in. That's wild, dude.
That is wild.
That is so cool. But, yeah, international, we got a good one for you guys. So strap in to your broomsticks.
Mm-hmm. Strap in and strap on, am I right?
Jesus. I don't know if you are right, but that is up for the people to decide. You want to tell them where we're going?
We are going to, let's see if I can do this. Edinburgh.
Yeah.
We're going to Edinburgh, Scotland.
No,
that was bad.
It was kind of, Scotland. Oh no, Scotland. It's not funny, I got school.
nah, it's not funny.
Oh man. Yeah, we're going to Edinburgh, Scotland. Did I say that correctly?
No, I think it's Edinburgh.
Edinburgh?
Because think about every time that you talk about the prince. Ooh. No, the king of England, right? He's the Duke of Edinburgh.
Edinburgh?
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
It's not Edinburgh.
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 Yeah.
Am I saying that correctly?
I think you're saying it correctly, yeah.
Edinburgh.
Any of our Scottish listeners, let us know.
Edinburgh? No, Edinburgh. Okay.
Edinburgh.
Okay. So we're going to Edinburgh. I feel like we're saying this incorrectly.
No, I think it's right.
Okay. All right. I'll ride with you. Scotland. Why? So what was your vibe behind this? Like, I definitely, like, feel like it feels like it fits the vibe of this time of year.
Yeah, we were looking for like fall vibes, spooky Halloween town vibes. Yeah. Like, and I feel like Scotland, like the Highlands of Scotland, just kind of give off that like foliage, leaves falling, castle.
I don't think they have leaves.
Vibe.
The Highlands don't have leaves.
No, but I'm talking about like Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah. Yes, no, I agree. Like, it's like
trees,
quaint. So. It feels like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Harry Potter's spooky in fall.
Happy Christmas, Ron.
Yeah, I've never even seen it,
bro.
Dude.
You've never seen? Oh my god,
never seen Harry. This is the year I'm gonna watch Harry Potter.
Uncultured swine.
Yep.
You should start now.
Yeah, you're right. All right, bye guys. Great episode. See you next week. Like and subscribe.
But I'm pretty stoked on tonight's drink because it's a very simple one. It's a variation of one of my favorite drinks, if not my current favorite drink. So it's the apple cider old fashioned. So it's basically just 2 ounces of bourbon, 4 ounces of apple cider, a couple dashes of bitters, and then I did a little apple peel garnish.
You got fancy.
Got fancy.
You're a little mixologist tonight.
Yeah, I took a little paring knife to the apple and shivved them up and
nice.
Threw it in there.
Yeah. All right, well, cheers to episode 30.
We're our podcast is the age that like people get self-conscious about their age, I feel like. Like yeah. people like get weird about 30.
Oh dude, I'm already nervous about 30.
Really?
Yeah, everyone that's over 30 tells you, "Oh, you're still a baby at 30," but like you're not. You're not a baby at 30.
No, but for those of you who don't know, we're 26. It's not like I don't consider myself a baby now.
No, I just know that like if all goes well, by 30 I'm gonna be married with kids. So that's like 4 years from now.
That's a lot of stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
4 years.
4 years married with kids.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of stuff.
I really just changed your perspective.
No, I mean I knew that was the coming down the pipe, but yeah, I mean, you're definitely not a baby when you're married and have kids.
Bro.
That's for sure.
Crazy.
Anywho, the cocktail is very tasty.
Nice.
As I figured it would be. It's classic old-fashioned with apple cider. You can't go wrong.
Love it. Now, dude, also, I don't know what my sitting position is. I'm like laying sideways, arm up, like paint me like one of your
French
girls.
I was just gonna say, Rose. Man.
I might not be able to stick with this whole episode, but I'll try it out. let's get into it, dude.
You should get like progressively more like flamboyant and weird about it.
Oh man. I don't even know how I do it. I mean, I could just straight up lay down. Just do the episode laying down.
We should do one, like, planking episode where we're just both on our stomachs just like...
Oh, man. We can do, like, what's the podcast you like where it's, like, they, like, curl up in blankets and, like, shit like that in the bed? This is a ghost podcast you like.
In the bed?
Don't they, like, sit in a bed and shit?
No.
Oh.
I've never seen a podcast like that.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
That wouldn't be a bad call, though.
We just get into bed and watch.
Dude, we have our little snuggle party.
Dude, if we ever
have
do
a little pillow fight,
we
in
do
the,
ever,
at the
ever do an
time?
Episode at like a haunted hotel. We definitely will like sit on the edge of a bed or something like that.
We can cut this if we don't want to share this. But Nate and I had talked about last week how we should do like one random episode one time where we film it and we're like cuddling in bed. And then like that's the only filmed episode we ever do, so that you never know if we're cuddling or not.
Every episode
you're like, oh, I wonder if they're
cuddling. I'm actually, my microphone is behind me and I'm turned back and looking at Aiden while we do this whole
dude
thing.
They wouldn't know.
They would not know.
We could be doing literally anything and
I mean, tarps off right now, dude.
Yeah, we could be butt ass naked.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, let's get into it, dude.
So I am doing kind of a classic fixture of Edinburgh.
Okay.
Edinburgh Castle.
Whoa.
So.
I know nothing about Edinburgh. Bedenbrough.
Clearly.
I know nothing about
clearly
this place.
You don't, because you don't even know how to pronounce it.
No.
So, high atop the rugged volcanic rock known as Castle Rock stands Edinburgh Castle, a fortress that has watched over Scotland's capital for more than 9 centuries.
Whoa. That's 900 years, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Its towering battlements pierce the skyline, an eternal sentinel of stone bearing witness to wars, coronations, betrayal, and bloodshed.
Whoa. Dude, you wrote this very poetically.
I know, dude. It's like very...
I'm in it.
I went like very like story...
Shit.
Storytelling this right. time.
We'll keep going there.
So, long before the castle existed, Castle Rock was already sacred ground. Archaeological evidence suggests humans lived on the crag as early as 900 BC. A crag is like a sharp cliff, or like a rock cliff.
Why did they live on a cliff? It's a weird place to set up. Because
it was the ideal defensive position.
That's fair.
But
900 BC, what were they defending against? Woolly mammoths?
I don't know, stone, like people throwing rocks at them or something.
Gotcha.
So the site's like I said, the site's natural cliffs made it an ideal defensive position, and the Celts called it, I think it's called Din Aiden. So it's D-I-N-E-I-D-Y-N.
Din Aiden?
Din Aiden?
Din Aiden?
No, that's British.
Oh. 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 Din Aiden?
No. Oh, Din Aiden?
That was us.
That was, yeah, that was.
Dude, we're going to need an accent coach. I do think
I feel like this. I just go like back and forth between all of the different
just everyone
funky ones,
and
yeah.
then it just all mends together.
I do feel like a lot of them are similar because they came from the same place.
Yeah,
but by the 7th century, Din Aiden had become a stronghold of the Gododdin tribe, but like so many ancient powers, it fell to invading forces. In this case, the Anglo-Saxons, who renamed the area Edinburgh. Over time, the hill transformed from a tribal refuge into a royal seat. The true birth of Edinburgh Castle as we know it came around the 12th century, under the reign of King David I, who was the son of Queen Margaret of Scotland. He built a stone fortress on top of the old Celtic ruins and established St. Margaret's Chapel, which still stands today as the oldest surviving building in Edinburgh.
Whoa.
Margaret herself would become a saint, who was revered for her piety and compassion.
Women could be saints?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's, like, tons of female really? Saints. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's cool.
But even her holy presence couldn't prevent the castle from becoming a place of blood and betrayal in Uh-oh. The centuries to come.
Uh-oh.
For much of Scotland's medieval history, Edinburgh Castle was the heart of Scottish power. Kings and queens ruled from within its walls, and the castle's great hall rang with the clinking of armor and the echoes of royal decrees. But this hilltop stronghold also became a chess piece in a brutal game that was fought between Scotland and England for centuries. During the Wars of Scottish Independence in the late 13th and early 14th centuries, Edinburgh Castle changed hands repeatedly. In 1296, Edward I of Scotland invaded Scotland, or sorry, Edward I of England invaded Scotland.
I was going to say, that doesn't make very
yeah,
much
no,
sense.
Yeah, no, it would not make sense. And he captured the fortress, stripping it of its treasures and sending the Stone of Destiny, which was Scotland's ancient coronation stone, to Westminster Abbey. But the Scots would not remain silent for long. In 1314... the same year that Robert the Bruce achieved victory at Bannockburn, a small band of Scots, led by Thomas Randolph, who was Bruce's nephew, scaled the cliffs of Castle Rock under the cover of night. And
he climbed it?
Yeah.
Just by himself?
No, like, I think, it was a small band of Scottish people who was led by Thomas Randolph.
And they just, like, rock climbed up the cliff.
Yeah, I think so.
That's crazy. Yeah. At night?
At night.
That doesn't sound very safe.
Well, war wasn't really safe back then.
No, that's fair, but that's just crazy.
But they stormed the garrison, and Edinburgh Castle returned to Scottish hands. The castle's defenses would be rebuilt and strengthened many times, but the sentries offered little peace. Every ruler who claimed Edinburgh Castle inherited not only a seat of power, but also a curse of endless conflict. By the 16th century, the castle had become as much a symbol of struggle as of sovereignty. The most famous siege came in 1573 during the period known as the Lang Siege. Following the execution of Mary, Queen of Scots, her supporters held Edinburgh Castle in her name, refusing to surrender to the Protestant forces loyal to her infant son, James VI.
Oh, wow.
The English army.
It's like, we want the baby in charge.
Yeah, the English army, who was allied with James, the baby,
yeah,
surrounded the
Could
fortress.
You imagine, like, no, we're on the side of the baby. And you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. We have this very fit, like, 25-year-old male who can rule. Oh, no, we want this dude.
Yeah.
And they just hold up, like, Simba.
Just a baby. We want the baby in charge. It's like having, like, your town have a dog for mayor.
All hail the baby!
Yeah.
Oh, man. But they surrounded the fortress and bombarded it mercilessly for 2 years to try and put a baby in charge.
Can you imagine if, did they work? Did the baby go in charge?
So when the defenders did eventually surrender and the castle lay in ruins, and the commander, Sir William Kirkcaldy of Grange, was executed on the castle's esplanade, and his body was left hanging as a warning.
Oh, geez.
So they wanted the baby so bad, they were like, we're going to fuck up your castle, yeah, and then we're going to hang you and leave you out there.
Oh, man. That would actually be so funny if the baby was at the battle, and someone was like, Sir Baby, what do you want us to do with the man? And then someone, like, leans in and pretends that the baby whispers to them, and it's like, the baby tells us we need to execute. And the guy's like, fuck, I hate this baby, dude.
Or like,
fuck, I hate this baby.
Or like, he had like a doll, and the guy was like, what would you like us to do? And the kid just like grabs the doll by the head or yeah, something, and like drags it. And he's like, we must hang the man.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But some people say that Sir William Kirkcaldy, who was the guy who was executed, his spirit still lingers near the battlements, unable to rest his loyalty to his doomed queen binding him to that spot.
Shit.
The castle was rebuilt once again, this time with heavier stone and more formidable cannon defenses, but its days as a royal residence were numbered. By the late 1600s, Edinburgh Castle had become primarily a military fortress and prison and a place of confinement and execution. As the centuries passed, Edinburgh Castle became infamous not for like its like grandeur and like fanciness, but for the dark dungeons beneath the surface. During the 18th and early 19th centuries, it was used to imprison thousands of captives.
Thousands?
Yeah, thousands. Jeez. French, American, Spanish, and Irish prisoners of war. We made it.
Yeah, why? How?
It was the 18th and early 19th century, so it was like war with Britain, and they were probably using Scottish castles.
Got you.
The conditions were horrific. It was like damp, airless vaults.
Ooh, yeah.
Carved into...
It just feels like everything's just soggy all the time.
Just soaked, just damp.
You just hear that one drip of water, the...
Yeah. Like your cell would have like a puddle in it for no reason. But they were carved into the volcanic rock, and disease and despair thrived in there.
Ew. That's yucky.
Prisoners scratched their names and symbols into the walls, some of which can still be seen today. One story tells of an unnamed piper who was sent into the castle's hidden tunnels centuries ago. So the tunnels were said to stretch all the way from the castle down to the Royal Mile, which was the old medieval street connecting the fortress to Holyrood Place. To test their depth, the piper was ordered to play his bagpipes as he walked through them.
I was like, what the fuck is a piper?
Yeah, it's like the...
It's a bagpiper.
Yeah.
Dude was laying pipe.
You know how, like, the Pied Piper is the guy that, like, led kids to their deaths or whatever?
Yeah, I didn't... I roughly know that that was a guy that, like, people...
I think he lured them in with music, I'm pretty sure.
All the kids followed him.
He played bagpipes. That was his thing. Halfway through, the sound of the bagpipes suddenly stopped. Search parties entered the tunnels, but the piper was never found.
Whoa!
The tunnels
disappeared.
He disappeared in the tunnels, playing the bagpipes, the loudest instrument of all time. The tunnels.
Like, oh fuck! I don't know where I am, mate.
Nah, it's not funny.
It's not funny. I got school.
I've got to pipe the tunnels.
Yeah.
The tunnels were sealed, and to this day, many visitors and staff claim to hear the faint wail of bagpipes beneath the castle floor.
He's probably still alive, dude.
Yeah, imagine.
Just like water drip, just eating water, like, come on, guys, like.
Eating the like tunnel rats.
Yeah, ew. That's yucky.
Oh, man. But the hauntings at Edinburgh Castle are not confined to its tunnels. Many of the castle's apparitions seem to be echoes of the violent military past. So in the vaults and prisons of war, guards have reported seeing shadowy figures in tattered uniforms, particularly near the old French prison rooms. Some describe a man with a missing hand, believed to be a soldier.
Where is my hand? That was bad. Where is the hand?
Bring me my hand.
Bring me my hand. No, we can't do the accents.
Dude, the accents are off tonight.
They're just off tonight.
Might need more cocktail.
I want my hand back. Please.
Oui, oui.
Monsieur, my hand would be appreciated. That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
It was. It was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
he's believed to be a French soldier who was executed after a failed escape attempt.
Jeez. So they cut off his hand and then executed him?
Based on that, those facts,
That's
I would
crazy.
Assume so. Or he lost his hand in the war and then was imprisoned. And then
how the fuck
executed.
Did he? Of course he failed his escape attempt. He got to a door and, like, couldn't do it.
It's like,
oh no, this is a two-handed activity. I am screwed.
Oh no, my kryptonite, a door. Oh man.
You seem to have caught me.
He's just like rubbing this at the door with his
just nubbing it. I tried to bite the handle. It did not go very well.
I was executed.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Other people speak of sudden drops in temperature or the smell of rotting flesh where none should exist. Duh.
Yeah.
Where should rotting flesh exist? In one particularly chilling account, a group of modern-day visitors reported being overwhelmed by nausea and dread upon entering the dungeon area. One woman claimed she felt her hair being tugged and heard whispers in French. Moments later, she fainted.
Huh.
The Great Hall, which was once a site of royal banquets and parliamentary meetings, has its own restless inhabitants. Witnesses have seen a phantom drummer marching across the hall.
Oh.
A faceless dude with a shadow where his head should be. His drumming is said to be an omen of war or disaster. The first recorded sighting of the headless drummer dates back to the 17th century, shortly before Oliver Cromwell's siege of the castle in 1650. The soldiers who patrol the grounds today tell of unexplained footsteps, doors that open and close on their own, and the chilling sense of being watched, especially during the night shifts when the wind howls over the ramparts. But not all spirits were soldiers. One of the most frequently cited apparitions is of a mournful woman in a long black dress believed to be one of the many widows left behind by the war fought from the walls.
Jeez.
She wanders the battlements, sometimes seen gazing down toward the city as if searching for someone long gone. Another famous legend speaks of the ghostly dog of the castle's dog cemetery.
Oh, there's a dog cemetery.
There's a dog cemetery.
Whoa.
A small fenced-in area near the battlements where regimental mascots and officers' dogs were buried.
Oh, shit. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Visitors have reported hearing soft whimpers and scratching sounds at night, and even seeing the outline of a small spectral terrier darting between the gravestones.
Oh.
Deep in the bowels of the fortress, it was in what was once the old hospital room. Psychics and paranormal investigators have reported contact with a figure known only as the prisoner. His energy is said to be desperate and angry, perhaps a man who died chained to the walls and still could not accept his fate. And then kind of the last thing that I read about was the scientific investigation in 2001. So there was like 240 volunteer scientists and paranormal investigators went into the castle to try and like, figure out what all the ghostly stuff was.
Got you.
half of the participants reported unexplained phenomena, like sudden cold spots, feeling as of being touched, sensations of choking, or the sense of an unseen presence, but they weren't able to definitively determine anything. So.
Jeez.
And then one last thing that I read about as well is that it was also used during World War II when the, I think it was like the Luftwaffe, so the German Air Force,
uh-huh.
would get shot down and then their pilots would be brought there to like a hospital. Or the Luftwaffe
shit.
Would shoot down. I can't remember which one it was. I think it was the Luftwaffe would shoot down the Royal Air Force planes and then they would be brought there for like a makeshift hospital kind of thing.
Got you.
So that is Edinburgh Castle.
That's a crazy spot.
It is a crazy spot. A lot of history, a lot of ghosts, a lot of creepy vibes.
Absolutely.
I'm going haunted.
Yeah, oh yeah. Like with that, this might be one of the most haunted places we've talked about.
Yeah, there's just so many different like things that could have caused it.
Yeah.
Like the sieges, battles.
Uh-huh.
Wars that were like decided Everything. In the building, like I don't know,
absolutely
lots of stuff.
So, wait, so certified haunt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Certified haunt, we're both aligned, completely agree. So, does that mean it's chugging time?
It is time to chug.
So,
oh, you wrote something this time?
Well, I had help from Mr. GBT. Okay. But I gave him a prompt. I thought of it more of a, like a Mad Libs.
Sure.
So.
I'm excited to hear it. Is it long? Like, should I chug slowly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chug cool. a little, like, slowly. Like, take, like, aggressive sips.
I'll sip.
Aggressive sips. So, this is titled, Burning Up from Beyond the Grave.
Ooh, okay.
It's spooky season. And I'm haunted, not by ghosts, but by the Jonas Brothers, circa 2008. Nick's whispering, baby, say the words, while Kevin just stands there.
Classic Kevin.
With that supportive oldest brother energy. Joe, he appears in my mirror at 3 a.m. in a velvet blazer, holding a pumpkin spice latte. Singing, burning up, like it's a seance.
Dude, when you said that he had a pumpkin spice latte, I had a full sip in my mouth. And I almost snorted it out of my nose.
Oh, man. Oh, shit. Oh. The candle flickers. The Ouija board spells J-O-N-A-S.
I'm very curious what your prompt was. Yeah. Was it... Make me a spooky slam poem, including the Jonas Brothers?
No, it started as, ready, I'll tell you the can you write me a funny, spooky slam poetry? It shot something out, and I go, shorter and more inappropriate. And I go, different vibe, and include the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, that's great.
But I'm not done.
They really went with the Jonas Brothers bit, too. They weren't like, oh, we'll sprinkle in a Jonas Brothers reference. They were like, no, we're going to center the whole poem around the Joe Bros.
Oh, man. Where was I? Singing Burning Up like it's a seance. The candles flicker. The Ouija board spells out J-O-N-A-S. And I say, okay, spirits, same. Because I didn't summon ghosts tonight. I summoned nostalgia, skinny jeans. And the fear that Camp Rock was actually my villain origin story.
Fair.
So yeah, my house might be haunted. But if it's by the Jonas Brothers, I'll leave that door unlocked. Mic drop. Softly. Because Nick's meditating. Oh, man.
Wow.
That was good.
You know what, dude? That.
Thank you. Thank
that
you.
Deserves
Thank
an
you.
Applause.
Yeah. I mean, Mr. GBT wrote all of it, but.
But.
My props helped.
At your direction.
Yeah.
You were the CEO of that poem.
Oh, man. That was good.
That was, yeah. That I was not expecting the Joe Bros to make an appearance.
No, not at all. I don't know why it came to my mind where I was like, yeah, this slam poetry needs the Jonas Brothers.
You should just find a random topic
yeah,
every week.
I should to make a slam poetry about.
That would be good.
a spooky slam poetry about a random thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Well, I have successfully chugged. This was an easy chug, dude.
Nice.
I love...
Dude, you had one before we recorded, too.
I did, yeah.
So you're
going to
do three tonight. You're going to be feeling a little wavy.
We had a little, like, delay before we started recording. And I was like, I don't want to let it go to waste.
Whoa.
Because it, like, gets watered down by the ice. So I was like, I'll just have one. And then I'll make another one. So, yeah, I'm going to go make myself a third.
Word. And then we'll be right back.
Peace.
Burbs.
Orbach.
We are so back. Okay. I'm just pulling up my story right now. How we feeling? We're two drinks into the evening, Aiden. How we feeling?
Dude, This third drink is the last of my bourbon, so I'm feeling good.
Yeah. How many days or stories has that lasted you?
Oh, I've had it for a while.
Really?
Yeah, I don't drink very much. Like, contrary to everything the show stands for, I don't drink all that much. So it's lasted me a while.
Nice. All right, well, let me get into my story without further ado. So we're heading to Nindry Street, Old Town, Edinburgh, to the Banshee's Labyrinth.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
It's a pub.
Okay.
Yeah, so I thought it was a cool vibe. So it sits partly built into the underground vaults under the South Bridge. They're called like arches, like slash vaults, and it's a network of chambers beneath the bridge connecting parts of Old Town. So it's like tunnels basically underneath the city. So it's like built into this tunnel network. And the pub has multiple levels, hidden rooms, corridors, staircases that can disorient. It has several, like different bar areas and even a free cinema room.
Ooh.
So. It's a big pub. Like, it's got a lot to it. And there's a lot of pieces to it. And with that comes a lot of ghosts. So, the vault under South Bridge, where the Banshee's Labyrinth was built when the South Bridge was constructed. The vaults run deep into the bedrock originally used for storage. When they were built, there was construction problems. There was inadequate waterproofing. Rainwater seeped into the vaults, making them damp, dark, cold. And there was also poor ventilation. So, not cool. Over time, many people, like the merchants and the tradespeople, vacated, you know, the storage areas due to poor conditions. And then the space became taken over by the destitute. So, criminals... people avoiding mainstream society, slum-like conditions, brothels, all that stuff. So, not good vibes.
So, it's my kind of place, man. Yeah. Love it.
And then parts of the vaults were abandoned, filled in, then rediscovered, partially reopened, like in the 1980s, allowing public access. So, yeah. Definitely a weird... vibe and situation.
Sounds
so it. I want to get into the ghosts. Now we've done the history, so I want to get into the ghosts.
But before you do,
yeah, sorry.
I just want to point out to the audience, you have not changed your sitting position.
No.
You're still...
I'm still like legs up on the couch, like sideways. Yeah, you know what? I might ride it all the way through. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4... Five like big name individual spirits here at the Banshee's Labyrinth. The first is the Banshee.
That makes sense.
Now, do you know about like Scottish lore, like with a Banshee and stuff like that?
I know that they scream.
Yeah, so they scream. I didn't even know that. So When I came across these things, it was fucking terrifying. So the name of the pub partly comes from an event during the renovations. Workmen in the lower vaults reportedly heard a loud, blood-curdling scream from a part of the building that was otherwise empty. After hearing the scream, a workman later received a call informing him that a family member had died.
Ooh.
This is reminiscent of the Irish-Scottish Banshee folklore, in which the Banshee's wail heralds impending death. Descriptions of what was seen is a woman in an old-fashioned gray dress, sobbing with long hair that's covering her face. And when you get closer to comfort or console, she then lifts her hands to reveal the pale face with decaying or rotten teeth and sometimes no eyes.
So here's a question that you might or might not know the answer to. Do they scream when things are already happening related to death, or do they scream and that causes a death? Like, are they the cause, or are they the warning?
I think the warning.
Okay.
I think the warning is how they're often referenced.
So they're not, like, bad. They're just, like, they just represent bad things happening.
Yeah. So, there have been not many after that initial encounter, but there have been moments where people feel like they have heard screams far away and stuff like that.
That's creepy.
But no specific kind of encounters other than that first one that ultimately named was the namesake for the pub. The second was Molly. Molly was a six-year-old girl, so she's said to be a little girl about six who disappeared in 1841. And it is said that when they're renovating or bricking up an old chimney in the building, a child's shoe was found with Molly inscribed in it.
They're getting bricked up.
Yeah, all right. Jesus, we're talking about a little kid
disappeared. I wasn't...
No, but did you catch that, though, where they, when they were removing the chimney or like, doing work to it, they found a little girl's shoe with the name Molly inscribed in it.
Well,
so she went missing, and then they found the shoe that said Molly on the inside.
But no other piece
of... No other piece of her. So it's reported to be that the chimney was her burial site. And patrons sometimes report her appearing or seeing signs of her, a little figure at the back or in corners. Also, staff have reported hearing a child's voice or seeing child-like handprints on windows. And it's a pub, so it's 18 plus. So
handprints are a little freaky.
Handprints are super freaky, especially a kid handprint.
Yeah, in a pub.
Yes, I completely agree. The next is Old Jock. Now, Old Jock sounded cool at first.
Does.
Not very cool. So Old Jock is the name given to a male entity that is said to haunt the ladies' toilets. You're like, bro, come on. Why you gotta be creepy, Old Jock? His behavior tends to include slamming doors, manipulating hand dryers, turning them off or on by themselves, footsteps or dragging sounds, and sometimes a shadow or presence seen in doorways. It is also reported people feel breath on the back of their necks when in the bathrooms.
Ew.
Yeah, weird. And he's said to have a particular interest in the pretty younger women that go to the pub.
Fucking Jock.
Yeah. And then some women report seeing shadows and feeling watched.
Okay. How do people know that he has a preference of the younger, pretty women?
I think they
report it and
they report it and other people don't. But it seems like the staff report that is who's coming up feeling like, man, like it felt like someone was watching me in the bathroom type of thing.
Okay.
And then the watcher.
Ooh, we got a watcher.
Yeah.
I actually, based on the fact that we were just talking about the women's bathroom, I feel like the watcher's not going to be a good dude.
No, I don't know. So there, hold on. So it's, let me give you the description, and then I'll give you, because there is a person that the Watcher might be. So I definitely want to. So the Watcher is described as a faceless male figure, wearing a long black coat, and then sometimes a tricorn hat, and then large boots. He's seen lurking in corners, doorways, dark passages. He is less active in behavior like screaming and stuff like that, but more observed as a presence. Watcher, something seen out of the corner of the eye sometimes. So he just kind of sits there and watches. So not really like a malevolent spirit, but just one that just sits there with kind of a heavier presence. Now, it is thought that he potentially might be Lord Nicol Edwards. Lord Nicol Edwards was a historical figure named Nicol Udert. It's Uddert. So Nicol Udert. Sometimes spelled Edwards, which you're like, what?
That's completely different.
Yeah. So he lived in Edinburgh in the 16th century and early 17th century, and he served as a provost of Edinburgh from about 1592 to 93. I don't know what a provost is, but someone important, I think.
I know colleges have provost offices.
Yeah,
I don't know what
that's
do.
Actually fair. I have no fucking clue what they do, though. So the cool part about him is, like, confirmed real person, like, have found public records about him. So, like, we know he's a real person. But apparently he was not a nice person. He kept a space in his house where he, hold on. But yeah, not a nice guy. He abused his wife. And he had a space in his house that was a dungeon. Like, he built in a dungeon into his house.
For his wife?
Yeah, for his wife. And he tortured her beneath his house.
Ooh.
He also, because torturing your wife isn't enough,
sure,
tortured women he suspected of being witches.
What the fuck? What is good with this dude?
I don't know. Could you imagine just, like, going like, ah, you, I think you're a witch, you're coming with me, and then torturing
them?
Get
in my dungeon.
Yeah, like, talk about, like, vigilante justice that is not good.
Or, yeah, just awful.
Yeah, well, like, but he's, like, taking, he's like, yeah, the sheriff isn't listening to me anymore. I gotta take the matters into my own hands.
You, witch.
Yeah.
Witch over there. You're coming with me.
It's like, dude, you know what I was watching last night? Was Hubie Halloween, where, you know how, like, the cop, Kevin James, and that tells him, like, yeah, like, you're actually an undercover cop now. You got to put your log in the trash can. And it's like, that's what they told this guy. And he's like, nah, fuck that. I'm going to start torturing them myself. So that is how I envisioned him. But yeah, so he definitely was not a good dude. And he can be seen in parts of the bar and the tunnels that align with, like, where his property was. Okay. And stuff like that. And that's why people think he is the Watcher. Because he has that kind of just, like, like,
looking out for witches.
Yeah, type of vibe.
That, I will say, that wouldn't suck to have your property where you are haunting become a pub. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. But he sounds not cool.
No, he sounds very uncool. But that was Jock? Or that was the Watcher?
Wait.
Jock was not the Watcher.
No, right? Nichols. Nichols.
Hey, Nichols.
Yeah.
You're a fucking loser.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, of all them, like, Molly is obviously a kid, so, like, nothing you can say about that. Jock seems pretty inappropriate. And then the Watcher seems, like, kind of, like, but that would counteract that, like, kind of vibe. So maybe, I don't know. So maybe the Watcher is, like, a bad dude, but he also, like, because I also think, too, never mind.
Never Poor mind. Molly having to hang out with these creepy-ass dudes.
I know. She's just trying to look out the window, dude. And she's got
she's
all
trying to find her shoe.
Yeah. Where the fuck did I put that?
Where did I put my fucking shoe?
Yeah. All I want is my fucking shoe. Probably got murdered. I just want my fucking
it's
shoe.
It's probably in the wall, yeah. But I can't get in there.
So, alright, what are you thinking?
I'll go with haunted because I like the stories.
Yeah. Right? I feel like there was some good backstories here
for these people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I'm going haunted all the way. So
certified.
Yeah. Certified haunt.
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 It's a sir haunt.
Sir haunt. Sirty haunt. Dude, well, episode 30 in the books.
Episode 30.
Yeah. Cheers to 30 and many more.
We're out of our 20s now, bro.
Yeah, we're in our 30s
now. That's
crazy. We did it. So, hey, we appreciate you all. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please continue on this journey with us. Like, subscribe, comment. We got a very nice DM the other day saying, like, someone just, you know, found us and they were enjoying listening to us in the car. And it's like, those moments make our day. So, like, you know, if you guys ever want to engage, please reach out.
No, seriously, if you listen and you enjoy it, please let us know, because it helps.
It helps. It helps. And if you listen to it and fucking hate it, also let us know, too. One, because I just want a hater at this point. And also, too, like, it will be like, it'll help
it's
us.
Helpful.
It's helpful. It's good feedback. Like, right now, we're just, like, screaming into the abyss. So it's like,
we want to put stuff out to people.
Like, absolutely.
That people like and that people resonate with. So if that's not the case for you and you are someone who's into this kind of thing, then let us know and let us know why you didn't like it so that we can change.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, hey, see you on the other side.
Stay spooky.
Stay spooky. Peace.